Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll, that's the right word here for you.
Yeah, I mean, the roles will determine the roles as we go, but we're happy to have Brad here. You know, you're talking about 6 years of service time plus, and, you know, another option from the left side. And then the guy that, you know, can play multiple positions. So, you know, we appreciate his versatility, so that'll be a part of his role, being able to move around to give us different options as the game goes, and you know, he'll come in and get a chance to compete for at-bats.
What have you been told are his best positions defensively?
So I've talked to several people and a lot of internal things. The good news is he can play multiple. As far as best, I think we'll still still determine that. You know, but he's gotten significant time at multiple positions, and you know, second, third, short, left field. I can't tell you definitively which one we think is his best right now.
What does all this do to Jairo Munoz as we look forward?
Well, you know, we do have a 26th man this year, so you know, it anytime you bring somebody in, it's impactful to others, but everybody's here to compete, you know, and that's what this game's about, you know, the competition, and you know, just allows Jairo an opportunity to compete, and you know, similar flexibility. Coming at it with maybe a few different skill sets or strengths maybe, but you know, Jairo gets an opportunity to come in and compete and play, and he'll get a lot of opportunity this spring to do that in multiple positions.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are some things that you hope to see from Jairo that assure you that he can be a part of your club?
Just the consistency, being able to, you know, be able to, as Gary LaRocque would say, our farm director, you know, consistently show that he can, which he's done. Yeah. I don't want to minimize that. How is he going to beat the other team? You know, and how is he going to be able to bring his skill sets to have positive influence defensively, offensively, on the bases, and in different spots defensively, and in different, you know, coming off the bench, starting, spot starting, that kind of thing.
We talked a lot about trying to get Paul maybe some more days this year than he had last year. Is Miller going to be part of that as well?
Miller can be a part of that. Tommy Edman can be a part of that. Jairo can be a part of that. You know, depending on what day that looks like, where we are, you know, what the matchup looks like. You know, there's strengths for all of them, and trying to complement and put them in the position of strength is part of my job. And, you know, as far as Paulie getting those days, excuse me, you know, we're not looking at a ton more, but we are looking at probably, you know, I don't hesitate to put a number on it, but, you know, a handful.
Mike, you said, you talked about yesterday how Carlos kind of won the offseason. Mm-hmm. You talked about with a lot of your players, but with him, was part of that his focus on losing some weight and becoming stronger, just all around full body?
Yeah, I think it was more about overall, wasn't necessarily about losing the weight. It was about, because I don't know, he is just the overall health. It's just because the one thing we talk about, extremities breaking down, a lot of times it's a result of other areas of not being as strong or an imbalance in an area. But he's done a good job of that overall health component. And then staying ahead of, which is important, you know, is some of the things that we've had history on, you know, making sure that, you know, the stabilization is taking place in a lot of areas, including his arm. And he's done that, so he's in a position to where he can now look to handle what it looks like to be a load of a major league starter.
You've gotten a lot of chance to talk with Alex through the years. Mm-hmm. Have you seen his disappointment range from frustration to motivation?
I think that's fair. You know, I think, you know, listen, a lot of respect for Alex. We've talked about this. You know, this is there's not a lot of people that can share his journey with Alex has had. They can people that can relate to it. For example, Chris Carpenter is a great resource for us for a lot of reasons. And one of those is because he's highly relatable with his vast experiences. you know, performing at the highest level, performing well at the highest level, being released, you know, with you know, early in his career, being injured multiple times, coming back from it. So, you know, the point of saying that relative to Alex is, you know, people can relate to a Tommy John surgery, or, you know, people can relate to a lat issue, or people can relate to these different things, but it's hard to relate to, you know, and have a lot of people that you can work and relate to and work with or talk to about, you know, basically 3 years of setback, you know. And so, long answer question, the frustration is understandable. I do think to the point now it's to the motivation, you know, and, you know, part of that frustration, I can't speak for Alex. I don't think it overly affected him. I think Alex, what I mean by that is Alex really didn't have to feel like he had to live up to the hype of being Alex Reyes and all the expectations that have been there for him. I think he got a taste of what he could do at the big leagues and wanted to live up to his own. And that frustration was more about that, like not getting the opportunity to do what he knows he can do. I think residually there's probably some of that, like frustration of having this prospect tag put on you and these expectations and, you know, feeling like he has to be some level of a linchpin for the success of our organization and our team, that candidly is not realistic for any of our players, and not fair. But ultimately the part of the now it's like just go play, you know. Now I've gotten through that. I'm not worried necessarily, not speaking for Alex, but have spoken with him a lot, and again, you know, won't talk out of school about those conversations, but, you know, he's in a good place. He's ready. He just wants to compete. Mm-hmm. Wants to compete and go play and be a baseball player.
Is there at all a parallel, too, with Carlos there? I mean, Carlos had a lot of hype. Carlos built some of that hype by being an all-star starter, yep. One of the top five starters in the National League, I mean, and then has had setbacks. I mean, right. Is there a parallel there with him?
I don't think that line stays parallel as long.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it branches off with just the amount of real versatility. Not that Carlos hadn't experienced it, and he's had his setbacks and so forth, but not to the length or degree. And you know, obviously Carlos was more established too at our level.
I guess maybe with the hype they were both carrying.
Yeah, the hype for
and
sure.
Maybe that's
for sure. No question about the hype. But Carlos was able to get the hype removed because he was able to go out and produce and perform, and then the expectations became, you know, we want more of that, but unsure what we were going to get or what he was capable of, got eliminated. With Alex, he hadn't a chance to prove that, and I'm pretty sure just reasonably, you know, that would be something he'd want to do.
When we talk about hype, is there intentionality in terms of maybe trying to keep some of that off of Dylan? And not putting that kind of pressure on him in a big league camp?
Yeah,
or maybe
same thing. I think we, you know, we're built to where we're not – most good teams, most teams in general are built not for one person. It's everybody doing their part for the greater good of the group, and that mentality is important, you know, and not feeling like you've got to live up or create – you can't be a slave to other people's expectations, just in general. I'm not saying Dylan's doing that, but
right. We
try to be mindful of that for the player and – encouraging of it, just be you and be the best version of you can be. We're very process driven. Let's be sincere about being the best at getting better every day, and go play and enjoy your craft and enjoy the time. You know, you spent the energy and effort every day in the off season and the time you spend, you know, to trust your play, to go play, just, you know, do all that. And that's all you can do. There's peace in that. When you start to feel like you're a slave to and expectations, you know, of other people's expectations, or trying to feel like you got to live up to something or buy into something, that's why I'm not big into comparisons. You know, I think that gets a little tricky with how your mindset can be.
What's the balance between making sure he can have that peace and have that internal balance versus seeing maybe a lane that could be open for him, right?
I think it's just the fact that just go play and there's the lane's there and, you know, go take advantage of it and create an opportunity for yourself. And, you know, listen, we're always trying to create the best opportunity for our players. But the thing that can be frustrating and that can be newsworthy and discussion worthy is when you have those opportunities where you have multiple people that or have created opportunities. We talked about our outfield, and you know, we sit there and we got guys that are capable of playing, and when then somebody's not playing, well, why is he not playing? Well, the other guys are playing pretty well, and they're good players, you know, and it's not a silo. So none of us in a team setting live in a silo.
You say, because he says the lane's there, but also for the lane's there for Dylan, but also Lane is there.
Lane is, that's right. That's right. Right. Very. That's what I could have. Yeah. I wish I. You know. That's just, well done.
No.
Yeah. So.
What's your excitement about? We talked all off season about those outfielders and how you guys have trust in them. What's your excitement now to actually be here and get to start seeing how those guys are going to fit in and who's going to run and grab the opportunity that's
yeah,
there?
Yeah, it's exciting. Everybody likes opportunity, right? I mean, we all do. I mean, regardless or irrespective of field, you know, you're given an opportunity. It's exciting. People say, hey, this is, we believe in you. We're going to give it to you. You know, when you, like in most, you know, fields, you know, it's not just, you know, there comes to be it's not solely your opportunity. You know, there's always going to be other, it's called competition. But the beautiful thing is there's real, genuine opportunity for multiple guys. And I think we're all excited to see that. And I say we, the player, us, the staff, you know, and of course, I'd like to thank our fan base as well.
Mike, Dakota Hudson said he's feeling good, feeling comfortable getting in with Waino, Flaherty being in that group. Yep. What excites you or what are you looking forward to seeing from him this year or this spring?
Continual growth. You know, we're looking at from everybody. We have a growth mindset group here. You know, we constantly want to get better. I was really impressed by Dakota last year in the sense that, you know, first full season, his learning curve, he allowed it to be you know, fairly quick and you know, it goes down before it goes up sometimes, and he worked through it, and he was very intentional about getting better and learning from the experiences, learning, you mentioned, about Waino and Jack and some of the other guys, Miles, and that he can grow from other people's experiences, and, you know, that's how we grow the fastest, and he's doing it, and so I just wanted to continue on that trajectory.
On Dakota, his kind of high walk rate last year, was that something that surprised you at all, and is that something – What do you see as a way for him to try to combat that for this season?
You know, I thought if you look at it, you know, which we have, is it got better as we went. So that was part of an adjustment mentally, not as much as maybe physically, just trusting your stuff, being in attack mode, working ahead, finding out what plays. And then also just thinking about, you know, one thing that we have that I think is an asset that we use from our baseball development department and our own instinct is, and the competition tells us, is just, you know, how we sequence, what pitches work, you know, what you need to do to be most effective against righties and lefties, and you know, experience also helps with that too.
That willingness to kind of keep things in the zone, is that especially important for a guy like him who does tend to pitch to contact with his sinker and things of that nature?
It's important with all of them. It's important with every single pitcher. You know, we have. You know, we don't like to make blanket statements. We like to get specific with our guys, but a blanket statement is, the expectation is we guys throw strikes and control counts, control really counts. You know, we do that. The numbers speak for themselves. And, you know, it's important for all of us, you know, Dakota included, you know, especially the starters that we want them to go deep in games, you know, and to be able to eat innings. It's healthy for them. It's healthy for the bullpen. That's the reason Jack took that next step. He really, you know, he's still a strikeout guy. He's got his punch outs. You know where you go get them. But Jack started to initiate contact earlier in counts, and he controlled counts better. Dakota does that. They go deeper in games, more efficient. We let our defense play. That's a recipe for us to have success and shake hands at the end of the day.
We heard that KK's bullpen pitching schedule is a bit changed. Is there any reason?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, listen, you stick around. The schedule is going to change. There's no reason to his change at all. So I don't – there's no – rhyme or reason to other than just we communicate, works through the other schedule, works with him. So he had a great first day, and we're excited about today.
Okay.
All right.
Mike, can I ask you one just real quick as you walk?
Yeah, everybody else good? Yeah.